Most of all, we say this all the time, but we mean it every time we say it. We're most glad that the Lord is here. He said, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be in the midst of us. And I believe that we meet that criteria. We're gathered together. There's at least two or three of us. We're gathered together in the Lord's name, and He's promised to be in the midst of us. And this is a time, a season in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we deal with the commercialization of it and whatnot. But we want to concentrate today on what this season is all about. And if I'm going to give a title to this discourse, it will be In Search of the Perfect Gift. And this is something that we all do, don't we? You're not going to buy me or a man, you're not going to buy a woman a set of tools or a hammer, probably. Some ratchets, that's not the perfect gift for them. You're not going to buy a man something that normally would be what women would appreciate. Some cooking utensils or a nice set of pots. It's not going to mean, well, it could mean something to some men, but most men, it doesn't mean very much to them. And most women, it doesn't mean very much for you to buy them a tool set or a toolbox. They're going to look at it and say, that's not the perfect gift for me. I could have, you should have just gave me a gift certificate, gave me the money, done something. But I want to say that the Lord Himself, God, in one sense, searches for the perfect gift. And I want to read a scripture that will bear that out. And I believe as we go along in this discourse, you'll understand what I'm saying here. Let's go to Ezekiel 22, and I want to read verse 30. It's a familiar text of scripture, no doubt, to many of us. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Read it for us.
Ezekiel 22, 30.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said,
yes.
And I sought for a man.
I sought for a man. Now this is the Lord. I sought for a man among them.
That should make up the
hedge.
And
stand in the gap
before
me for the land.
That I should not
destroy it.
But I found none.
So the Lord God Himself went on a shopping spree, we might say. And He said, I searched high and low for a man that could stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You know that this at this particular time, the people had done wickedly before the Lord. And the Lord was realizing that He was going to have to destroy the land unless He could find somebody to be the intercessor. Somebody that could stand between Him and the land. Some man that had lived a life to the point that God was pleased with his life. And now this man could make intercession. Much like what Moses did. And he couldn't find anybody like that. I wonder if the Lord searches for men and women today. I believe that He does. I believe He's looking for the perfect kind of a person. I believe that He's looking for the perfect kind of an individual to do things for the people of God. I believe that the Lord has a perfect man for every congregation and to stand before the people and minister to the people. I believe that God has the perfect person for every man or woman that desires to be married. There is a gift that God has for you that He wants to give you, but we have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be, first of all, in the place that I can receive the gift that You have for me. I realize it's a free gift. I realize that the fact that You're giving it to me is something that's wonderful, but I want to be in the place that I need to be in order to receive that gift. So He says, I search for a man. Now we go on down in time. Even right now as we speak, the Lord searched for somebody. And He said in His mind, this world, He looked at this old sinful world, and He came to the conclusion, there has to be somebody that can die for this world. Some perfect gift that I can give that will cause mankind to understand how much I love them. I want them to know that. And it seemed like everything that I've done for mankind, all the gifts that I've given, the gift of the sun, the gift of the moon, the gift of the stars, and the food that I've created, all the air, all the wonderful things that I've created for man, I gave to him. He didn't have to pay for them. We don't have to pay for sunlight. We don't have to pay for all the things that God has done for us, but yet we seem not to be as grateful for what He's done as we should be. All of us have fallen into that kind of a place, haven't we? We've fallen where we forget to thank the Lord for what He's done. Lord, I thank You for the health that I have. All of us have a reasonable portion of health and strength. All of us have a certain amount of intellect and ability in our minds and whatnot. That is a gift from God. It's the perfect gift that He gave for you. He knew you before you were even born. Before you were created in the womb, He knew the environment under which you were going to be born. He knew everything about you. He knew the things that were good and the things that were bad. And He said, still, sometimes we feel like we are at a disadvantage, don't we? I wish I was born in a different era. I wish I was born in a different family. Maybe your parents weren't good parents. Maybe you were in a situation that was abusive and whatnot, and you don't quite understand it, but there's still this gift that God has that makes everything all right. That is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the perfect gift. It's for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever lived in the world and ever will live in the world. It's the perfect gift. You don't have to go shopping for very long. You can tell somebody about what Jesus has done for you. And do you know, just lifting it up, as the brother brought out, he was telling witnessing to someone about what the Lord is able to do. That's a gift. The fact that we can present Jesus to somebody else, that's a gift, isn't it?
It is.
But I want to talk to you a little bit more about what God did. Let us turn to John 3 and 16. All right. John 3, verse 14. Let's start there. John 3, verse 14.
Moses lifted up the
serpent in the wilderness.
Even so must the Son of Man
be lifted up.
And whosoever
believeth in Him
should not perish,
but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world
that He gave. This is His gift to us. This is His gift to me. As the brother brought out this morning, he said, you know what? If there was nobody in the world but me, God would have done it for me. If there was nobody in the world but you, God would have done it for you. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart.
Amen.
But for God so loved the world
that He
gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
For
God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right, so he says here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is not that we draw men to an organization. That's not what it's all about. Organization may have something limited to offer a man. But let me tell you, what we have to do as saints of God, as Christian folk, we have to lift up Jesus in our lives. And how do we do that? We make certain that we're living the kind of life that is pleasing in His sight. You're not doing it for Brother Darrell. You're not doing it for your pastor. You're not doing it for those that are around you. You're not doing it. You're doing it for Christ. And as a result of that, you're lifting Him up off out of this world. Part of the reason today that Christianity has a bad name among a lot of folks is because folks are dragging it along in the mud. They're claiming to be Christian, and they know that they're not living right. They know that they're not doing the things that God is requiring and desiring of them. So therefore, His name, I'm a Christian, but I'm smoking a cigarette at the same time. I'm a Christian and I'm drinking a little beer. There's nothing wrong with that. I can do that. I can just have my fun. I'm Christian and I'm out on the dance floor doing stuff I know I ain't got no business doing. That is having an effect on how people are responding to the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so what did it say? It said there has to be something greater than that. So saints of God, men and women that consider themselves Christian, what do we have to do? We have to take Jesus out of the gunner and lift Him up, so to speak. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. We've got to take Him out where folks have Him as just a common man that you can do. You can still sin more or less every day and still be a Christian. No, there's something better than that, isn't it? God so loved the world that He gave. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus did not die on a cross for me to continue to sin more or less every day. He gave me power. He gave me victory in my life. He changed my life. I'm a different man than what I used to be. I don't have to do the things that I used to do. And if He's not strong enough to keep me out of sin, what's the point in serving Him?
Amen. Amen.
If I'm going to go, if I got the can't help it, and I'm going to go and I'm going to do all those things that I used to do, and I just now the only difference, I've got this little homemade halo over my head that says that I am a Christian. What is the point if he doesn't have power to break the power of sin? The gift that God gave was a gift to deliver man out of sin. He said that she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and what is he going to do? He's going to save his people from their sin. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If there was not enough power to save me and clean me up and to change me and make me a different man, what is the point of his death? There was no need for him to be born. There's no need for him to go through the suffering and the pain and the aching that he went through if that blood is no more powerful than to keep me at the same place that I've always been.
Amen.
To keep me at the same place that I wanted. I wanted something. And let me tell you, every one of us that have been delivered from sin wanted something. When we went to bed at night, there was some little, maybe just a small voice. Maybe it wasn't something that was grand and big and just making me so fearful, but there was just some small voice that told me, you're not right.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yeah.
And what did I long for? I longed for something that would change that. Something that would change that little voice to say, you know what? It's all right now.
Yes.
I wanted something like that. And what was powerful enough to do it? We searched and we searched. Drinking didn't do it. It dulled it for a little while. Some of you know that. Smoking dope didn't do it. It may have dulled it for a little while, but it didn't say it's all right now. It never says that. Running around being promiscuous and all the other things that folks trying to do, they didn't know it did it. But let me tell you, there was one time when the Lord spoke to me and he said, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. He spoke that to me. And then I said, all right, Lord, and I found me a place to pray, and I called out to the Lord, and he gave me something, a gift.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave me the grace of God that was able to clean me up, and it has kept me clean from that moment to this.
Thank God.
It was a gift. It was a perfect gift. I didn't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. Now it worked on me and it just kept on giving. And it keeps on giving. The other day the sister stood up and said it was her birthday. December, her birthday. 45 years or so. Isn't that wonderful that she's been saved? What happened? Something changed her life. Something changed my life. Something changed your life. It was the gift of God. It's God's perfect gift. God so loved the world that he did what he gave. He searched around, you might say, and he went on a shopping spree. And he searched around of all the things that he had to give man and all the things that he had yet to give man. What did he say? What is the greatest thing that I can give man? And it's myself.
Amen.
It's who I am. It's my heart. It's my son. It's the words that came out of my mouth when I spoke this world into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Nothing was not made. Everything that was made by the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we're talking about. The Son of God, the incarnate one, the very one of the God that spoke and spoken into existence. Jesus Christ is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Amen.
And let me tell you, the Word of God, how many times have we been in a dark place in our spiritual experience and we go to the Word and there's an illumination, there is something that enlightens our mind and illuminates us, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's Jesus Christ. What we're looking at when we read these words, we're reading the Word of God. We're reading the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. That changed my life. That when I confessed and I forsook my sin, it changed my life completely. I'm not the same old Daryl that I used to be. I'm not the same man that I used to be. Wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a good thing. And let me tell you, some folks would say I wasn't that bad. And I would say that I wasn't that bad of a person anyway. But I was bad enough to go to hell.
Yes.
I didn't smoke. I told you about the story. One time I went to a church. I went to a church just to visit me and Brother Keith, down the street from the old church. It was a little house church, and we decided to go there, having a revival. We decided to go there and visit them. So we sat there during the whole time. And there was a sister up there preaching. And she started preaching at me. I'm going to tell you how I know she was preaching at me. See, now some folks say, don't preach at folks. I try not to preach at people. As a matter of fact, if I know you have the problem, I'll try to tiptoe around it and not even do it, even if the Lord brings it to my mind. But if He brings it, I have to say it. All right? If He tells me to say it, I have to say it. But this woman was talking about all kinds of ungodly things and drinking and passing around a bottle in a wrapped up in a paper bag and passing it around and smoking and running around with women and all this. And then after she got through preaching, she looked dead at me and said, I hit you, didn't I? She said it to me. And I said, you know what? I ain't done none of those things. Not even one. I hadn't even done one of the things she was throwing at me. And you know why? It was the grace of God. What I'm saying here is, I was a pretty good boy. But you know what? Sometimes I've learned that pretty good boys are the worst kind. Pretty good girls are the worst kind. Because they do all their dirt underneath that nobody knows about. But may the Lord help us. And I'm not saying that I did a bunch of dirt, but I've learned that. So here's the point. The point that I want to make is all of us need the Lord. All of us need this gift. All of us need the saving power of the Holy Ghost. Every single one of us. If you consider yourself good or you consider yourself the worst person that ever lived, it doesn't matter. You still need the Lord. And this gift is still for you. All right, let's go a little further. God gave His Son. And I want to say, so He says here, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. So the Lord wants us to have eternal life. Then He goes on, He said, for God so loved the world that when we love something, generally, there is a requirement in love. One of the requirements of loving something is to give of ourselves to that thing in which we love. If you love a child, you're going to give yourself to that child. Every mother, every father that really loves their children, let me tell you, there's many, many sacrifices that you make for those children because you love them, don't you? All right? In the same way, a husband that loves his wife and loves his family, he is going to get up and go to work even when he doesn't feel like doing it because he loves his family. Folks love themselves, so they give up a lot of stuff for their own benefit. And may the Lord help us to realize that we must love the Lord as well. So here it says here, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord gave His Son, the most valuable thing, the most valuable gift that He could possibly find. There was no holds barred. He did everything that He possibly could do to make certain that His creation was redeemed from sin. And this was the way to redeem it. The only way to redeem it was to give His Son. And then after He gave His Son, He was willing for His Son to be born here in this world. He's willing for Him to be born in this world. Jesus Christ Himself had to be willing to give the most valuable thing He had. His life. As a gift to us. His blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ, what does the Scripture say? Cleanses from most of our sins. There's a few sins that it's just not as powerful enough to be able to clean us up from. We got to do that, but most of the rest of them He can do. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. What does it say? It said it cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Yes. So we have to understand that this gift is a gift that is the most powerful gift in the world. Yes. All right? Luke 2. Verse 1. Yes.
And it came to pass
in those days
that
there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus
that all the world should be taxed.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
And
all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now this, he gift wrapped it too, didn't he? Wrapped it in swaddling clothes, laid it in a manger. This is one of the signs that he gave to the, you'll find the child, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. You know what, I want to say this too, because sometimes we have gifts. Have you ever heard of someone giving a very small gift and wrapping it in a really big box? And to kind of throw the people off. What could this be? Or maybe putting a brick or something in it, and it's not, it just kind of throw them off and make them, I just wonder what this is. And you have no idea what it is. You know what you wanted, but you have no idea. Then they wrap it all up beautifully and they hand it to you. It's kind of to throw you off a little bit. Well, here the Lord, I'm not saying that the Lord did it to throw us off in any wise, but you know, you had to be looking for the Savior to know that it was Him. You had to be looking for Jesus to know, and you still have to be looking for Him. To know what truth is, you have to be looking for it. Lord, I want it. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. I don't want it just because it feels good. I want something that really means something to me, something that will change my life. I don't want something that will make me feel good for a few days and something that when I leave, I'm all up and down, but it has no power to help me face Monday.
Amen.
Has no power to get me over the hump on Wednesday. It has no power when everybody else is going to the club on Friday and they call me up and they say, listen, why don't you go? I don't want something like that. I want something that will enable me to stand against all of the temptations of the enemy. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
And so what do I have? I have a gift. Not a gift of church.
Right.
Not a gift of a beautiful choir singing. That's a gift in one sense, you might say. And how I feel uplifted and I feel wonderful when I leave. I want something that will help me when the choir is not behind me. I want something that will help me when the preacher's not preaching anymore. I want something that will help me when I'm faced with something that's so strong and so that's enough to bring me down. I need something then that has some power behind it. And all I know that will do that is Jesus. It's the gift. He's wrapped it and folks, I was listening on, I don't know, just flipped on something on YouTube the other day, and this man, I don't know what called my attention to it, maybe the title or something, and the man was talking about an atheist and how our faith and our religion is just foolish. Well, that's what you're saying now.
Right.
You're saying it now. You won't be saying that forever. And old man too. And he had this and talking about how religion has no basis and all this and how and then having the arguments that we have, well, you have to have faith and all this, and he's saying all these things. Let me tell y'all something. There is a spirit of the devil, a spirit of Antichrist that is coming against the people nowadays that are saying that there is no such thing as a God, and if I don't believe it, then that makes it not true. That's the most foolish thing that I've ever heard. Just because you don't believe something does not make it not true. And it maybe takes all the pain away, all the conviction away for a space of time, and their conscience becomes seared, but it doesn't make it untrue. Doesn't, just because you don't believe that there is no God doesn't mean that there isn't one. Just because you, and I don't see how somebody can look up at the stars and the sun and see the wind that is blowing and say that there is not an intelligent being behind that.
Right.
That is what baffles me. It seems like that takes a much greater stretch of the imagination than it does to say, you know what, something intelligent has made a little thing here, whatever it is, and what is this? A little digital recorder. Something intelligent, something just blow it up and see what happens. Let me throw it against the wall and see what happens. We have enough sense to know that some intelligent being created this and keeps it all working. And when something in it stops working, an intelligent being has the ability to fix it, doesn't he? Well, in the same way, you've got a great universe that he's given to us really as a gift. and an intelligent being keeps it all the right amount of oxygen to nitrogen and all the other stuff that I don't know anything about. And he keeps it right at the right pressure, everything in this body. Everything is working like it should work. And it just happened by accident. Just all of a sudden, trillions of years ago, this big bang. Well, who calls the bang? Somebody said in one place, yeah, I believe in the big bang theory. That God said bang and it happened like God said it. Well, I'm more inclined to believe that. If you want to believe a big bang, the Lord said, let it be a bang. And it was a bang. But God did it. Wasn't some little something, amoeba that started crawling out of the waters. Who created the waters? He gave it to us as a gift. And then when we messed it up, he gave us a gift to fix it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, all of us, I don't think that there's anybody here that is old enough that have gotten to the age of accountability and haven't messed up your life. Anybody here that says, you know what, I never did anything that I wish I hadn't done. Most of us. Now, some of you, some got saved at an early age. That's wonderful. There's nothing better than that. But there are those that are sitting here today that messed up your life, didn't you?
Yes.
I wish I hadn't done it. I got into some trouble. I did this and I did that. Now, what happened? But when you gave your heart to the Lord, what happened? All those things that you did wrong, all those things that were askew in your life, Jesus fixed it, didn't he?
Yes.
And then he turned those things that were terrible, all those things that you did, he turned them into good for you. And not only for you, but he turned them into good for you to be able to minister to somebody else that's going through the same thing. And you say, honey, I did that too. And this is what's going to happen if you do it. Now, those that didn't do it, those that didn't do that thing don't have quite the understanding that a person that did it and the Lord brought them out of it has, right? So now, your responsibility becomes that you are to minister this gift of Jesus Christ that He's given to you. You're to minister it to somebody else. This is what God did for me.
Right.
And you're to give this gift to somebody else. You're to minister what God has given you. You're to minister it to somebody else. You're to be the witnesses to tell folks that, you know what? It's possible for you to live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world. It's possible for you to do that. And you know why? How? It's not because you're so strong and so strong-willed that you're not going to do wrong. A lot of us were strong-willed and we said that we weren't going to do wrong and that we didn't do wrong for about a week. And then we started edging right back over there. When that which was in us was calling and pulling, we began to go over there. But then there was something that God gave us, a gift of His grace, He gave us that cut the ties with that thing and allowed me to live a righteous, holy life, even when the things, the temptation are calling me. And they continue to call, don't they? But we can say, no.
Amen.
Just stop up my ears. I don't want to do that.
Amen.
And there's power for us not to do it, which we didn't have before. That's the gift of God. That's the perfect gift. Whatever, what is it that you need? You need, what do you need? You need some grace? Part of the gift. You need a husband? Part of the gift. A wife? Part of the gift. He is all in all. He is whatever we need. You need a healer, He's our healer.
Amen.
He's everything that we need. Isn't that wonderful? All right, go a little further here. Romans 8 and 31. Someone get us Ephesians 3 and 7. 8 and 31. Romans.
What shall we
say then to these things?
If God
be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own. Now that's in power. If God be for us, folks can say what they want to say. And it seems like sometimes that you are defeated. And you don't know what to do, what to say. But if God is on your side, God is going to come to your rescue.
Amen.
If God be for us, you just make certain. This is what you do. Let folks say what they're going to say. Let them do what they're going to do. Let the whole world stand against you. But if God is on your side, if you're on God's side,
yes. Yes.
If you're on God's side, God will vindicate you. You don't have to go and say, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to go and say, you know, I'm not going to let you do this to me anymore. I'm not going to take it anymore. You can take just as much as God allows you to take, and you stand there and you stand strong. God is going to come to your rescue.
Amen.
He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? A lot of folks can be against us, but they don't have the power. Just me and God make a majority, don't we?
Yes.
That's all that's there. Just me and God. I'm by myself. It doesn't seem like anybody understands me, but God understands me, and that makes a majority every time.
Amen.
When you look at what God did back in the Bible times, back in the Old Testament times, those things were written because we can see behind the scenes and we can see what the prophet is praying and what his people are doing and what God is doing in the midst of their praying. We see the whole picture. That's why God gives it to us, that we can understand that if I pray like Daniel did, God will do something for me too. He'll close the mouth of the lions. It may not be literal lions, and it may be literal lions, but He'll close their mouth because I can pray like Daniel, and it's part of the Word of God. That's my gift. It's the perfect gift. If Job can go through the things that Job went through, and it was very difficult for Job, and all of those things that he did, and all of those, the sickness in his body and whatnot, and losing everything that he had, if he can do it, then I can do it by the grace of God, because it becomes my gift as well. He did it through the same process that I do it through. Praying and seeking God and God coming to His rescue. If Noah can be the only one that stands firm and true in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, if he's the only one that's left standing, if he can do it, I can do it too by the grace of God.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
It's my gift.
Amen.
It's what He's given to me. It's the perfect gift. He enables me to stand.
Yes.
And after I've done all to stand, my responsibility is just to stand there. You don't have to make a big wave and let everybody know that you're going through a great trial and I'm standing firm for the Lord, saints. You don't have to let them know that. They'll see it. Just be quiet. Chances are, if you're hollering and broadcasting, then you don't have as much victory as you're saying that you got. That's what I've learned. And then what's going to happen? The wave is going to come and you're going to fall over. You're going to say, what happened? Just be quiet and stand. All right. If God be for us, who can be against us?
He
spared not His own Son. Did not spare His Son. For what did He do? He delivered Him up for us all.
How shall He not
with Him also freely? What do you need? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's able to do it. Now He's willing, He's through His Son, to freely give us everything that we need.
Amen.
Now I want to bring that out. Everything that we need. There are some things that we want. That the Lord sees in His wisdom. Now sometimes we don't understand the wisdom of God. The Scripture says in one place in Corinthians, they said the wisdom of God is foolishness with man. Something on that order. Sometimes the things that God does seem foolish. And folks want in their own intellect to come to the conclusion that that doesn't make sense. Therefore, I'm not going to do that. We have to depend on the wisdom and have faith in the wisdom of God.
Amen.
All right? No, it says the foolishness of God
is wiser than men.
That's what that scripture says. It says the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So when we say that the foolishness of God, now God hides. God hides His wisdom. That scripture says the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. The mystery of creation, the mystery of the redemption, a plan of God. It is a mystery. But it is the wisest thing to say that Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 something years later, is still that blood that was shed then is still working for me. It doesn't make a lot of logical sense, but it works. I know it works because it worked for me. It's worked for you too, hasn't it? All right.
So we speak the wisdom of God.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Even
the hidden wisdom
which God ordained
before the world was made. All right, let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 7.
Whereof
I was made a minister,
according to the
gift of the grace of God,
given
unto me by the effectual working of power,
unto me,
who am less than the least of all saints,
was this grace given,
that I should preach among the Gentiles,
unsearchable riches.
Oh, how rich is your big brother. The unsearchable riches. That means that he can give us anything that we desire. Anything that we want. Anything that we want, he may not give us everything that we want. I want to make that very clear. There have been some things that we, in our own wisdom, we feel like we need this or we want this, and the Lord says, no, you don't. And he says, I've got something better for you. And we've got to trust in the wisdom of God. So it's unsearchable riches. All right, someone, I want to... we're moving toward our conclusion. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6.
But without faith,
it's impossible to please God. Now, have you ever gotten a gift and part of it was you got the gift and it says something like batteries not included? All right. So that means you have to go and get the batteries for it, right? And why do you have to go get the batteries for it? Why? Help me out.
It won't work.
There's no power unless you have the batteries. And so the Lord has given us the gift of Jesus Christ, but it was brought out in our Sunday school lesson that if you don't accept it by faith, it's of no benefit to you. So what he does, he says, all right, I've given you the gift. You've got to have faith to reach out and accept it. So he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to put the word of God into action in order to activate what God has given us. So we need to understand that what I have, what I'm doing, what God has given me, I have to activate it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to do it. Faith without works is dead. We've got to step forward and do what God is requiring us to do. If I never repent of my sin, they'll never be washed away. If I never ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, He'll never do it. He will not intrude on my will. If I don't want Him, He's not going to press Himself. He's going to come. He's going to offer Himself to me. This is the gift. I have a right to refuse that gift every time He presents it. But I want to say that there are some that have refused that gift. Some that says, you know what, I don't want anything from Him. I don't want that. I want to encourage you that this is the perfect gift because it gives you everything that you will ever need in life. If I've got Jesus, I got everything I need. Everything. And if I don't have it now, it's in Him.
Amen.
All I have to do is go a little deeper, pray a little more, seek the Lord. Lord, I want to be the man that you want me to be. I need help. Have you ever gotten to a place that you felt like, I need help in my soul? You're saved, though. And you're going, Lord, I need more of the grace of God. Lord, somebody got on my nerves and it affected me in a way that it's not good. I can't keep going like this. And so you find the place of prayer and you find in that place of prayer that Jesus is everything you need. And He comes in and He takes all the hurt away. Somebody hurt you? He'll take it away. Somebody offended you? He'll take it away. He's everything you need. Saints, He's everything. People that don't know the Lord quite like you should at this point, He's everything. He's the perfect gift. Don't have to look any further. That little empty place in your heart is not going to help if you get a nice, bigger house. There's going to still be this empty, not a bigger car, a better paying job. You need Jesus. The perfect gift. Thank the Lord. Activated by faith. Faith which works by love. All right, I want to read another scripture. First chapter of Matthew 21 to 23. Matthew 1, 21. We referred to it earlier.
She shall bring forth a son.
Thou shalt call his name Jesus.
He shall save his people from their sins.
Now all this was done, might be fulfilled, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying,
Behold,
yes.
The virgin shall be with child.
Yes.
And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Call his name Emmanuel.
Interpreted is
God with us. Well, you know what? Ultimately, the gift that God gave was Himself.
Yes.
God with us. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. Our Savior. And then Emmanuel, God with us. God said, it's not just good enough for me to leave you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. But He gives us His Spirit. He gives us everything that we need to be successful in this world. And then what He gives us on top of that is eternal life now. And then He gives us eternal life over on the other side. That's wonderful. Nothing better than that. All right. It's a free gift. Romans 5, verse 15. Romans
5:15.
But not as the offense,
so also is the,
so also is the free gift.
For through the offense of one, many,
offense
be,
of
dead.
One, many be dead.
Much more, the,
much
grace,
more
of God,
the grace of God.
And the gift by grace.
Gift by grace.
Which is by one man.
By one man.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor of God. It's not that I deserve what He has given me. Nobody deserves it. The good old boys don't deserve it. The terrible people don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. He gives it to us. And what is grace? It's empowerment. It gives us the power and the authority over sin. That's what grace really is. It is not just something that eliminates or something that washes over the sin. It is something that empowers us. What does Scripture say? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may be able to obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. So what happens when we come to the throne of grace, we come to any throne, what happens is if I come and I ask that king that's sitting on that throne for the authority over a particular thing, that He gives me that authority, I have power and authority over that which once had power and authority over me. Alright, so the grace of God, when we come to the throne of grace, we have favor with God. It's much like Queen Esther. She went and she went to the king and she got the authority from the king to do the thing that she needed to do against the one that had come against her. Haman, remember the story? Alright, in the same way, we have Hamans that are coming against us, and what we do, we come that are sent to destroy us. We come to the throne of grace, we obtain mercy, find grace to help, and that grace gives us authority over the powers of sin. That's what grace is. It is the favor of God that says, I bestow to you the authority, the power, the favor to overcome sin in your life. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And the very Haman that wanted to destroy us, we end up destroying it.
Right.
For this purpose was the Son of Man, God manifest, that He might do what?
Destroy
the works of the devil out of my life, out of every life. That would allow him to destroy it out of that life. All right, last scripture. So we understand that the gift is free. Romans 6, verse 23.
Wages of sin
is death. Let's be very plain and clear about that. Wages of sin is death. You're going to get paid one day for all the sin that you commit. Every person, every one of us, the wages, and we want to tell you what you're going to get paid. When you're going into a job, it's fair for them to tell you this is the salary. This is what you're going to get. This is what you can expect to get on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, on a weekly basis. This is what you can expect to get. And so we say the same thing. If you want to work for sin, work under sin, work in sin, this is the wages. Death. Ultimately, you're going to die. And it's not just a death, a light death, it's an eternal death.
Yeah.
Not just one death where this old body dies, but it is a death where the spirit dies and separated from God. We don't want that, do we? None of us want that. And none of us have to have it. There is really a place called hell. There really is. And we have to believe that. People can say it's not, doesn't exist, doesn't mean that it doesn't. All right? But He says, the gift. This is what I want to talk about today. This is what we've talked about. The gift of God is eternal life. That's wonderful, isn't it? You don't even have to work for it. You don't even have to work for it. Why work in sin for a salary of death? Why not let Jesus Christ give you the gift of eternal life. A gift. So there is, I'm laboring under something, I'm laboring under this, and it may seem good for a space of time, but ultimately, I'm going to get paid. They're going to write me out my check, and on the bottom of it is going to be death. That's what's going to be there. All that I work for, nothing. Or I can accept the perfect gift, which is a gift of Jesus Christ, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pray for me. Let us stand. There may be someone that...